So thankful this morning for God and Jesus, our Father, a Lord that does indeed take care of us. He knows when we are in a weak hour, and He is moved by those times where He sees that we are not able to go on in our own strength, and He is willing to come down and hold our hand and walk us through those difficult times. Today the Lord wants to have a personal relationship with you. The Lord desires for our relationship to be alive with Him. The Lord wants you to have experiences in your life that you can look back on as places of remembrance where He talked to you in a very special way, where He made Himself known to you in a way that helps give you faith and confidence to continue to walk the journey of life with Him. The Lord does not want to be a distant God today, but He wants to be a near God. He wants to be a warm, loving, caring Father with whom you have a warm relationship with. I'm going to write the title of the message on the board this morning, and it is, Who Are You Living For? Who are you living for? I think it's a good question to ask. And I think that it is a good question for each of us to have a really good understanding of for ourselves. It's a general question. It's a question that isn't new. It's a question that most of us this morning would, especially in a church service, when somebody says, "Who are you living for?" And if it was a test, we'd probably all pass it pretty quick. Well, I'm living for God. But it's a question that I'd like to dig into a little bit, desire your prayers and your attention today. I hope you're awake and alert. I believe it's a very important message today that I would like to have us consider. Who are you living for? There are different answers that we could give. You could be living for yourself. You could be living for others. Others and God. And so when we ask the question, who are you living for? When I think about this, depending on how you define the question, I would say this morning that in many ways the answer is yes. I am living for myself in a lot of ways. When I am hungry, it doesn't take me very long and I start looking for food, because I'm interested in taking care of myself. I think all of us do that, don't we? When I'm tired, I don't always get to sleep when I'm tired, but eventually I'm going to find a place to lay down and go to sleep. And when I find myself in situations that are difficult and are painful and unpleasant, I'm probably like most everybody here today, I look for ways to make life more pleasant for myself. Don't you? I look for ways to make painful things less painful when I can. And from that respect, I spend a lot of time in life with myself. Which means I spend a lot of time doing what I can to take care of myself. Others, all of us here today, no doubt, most of us, if you're of any age, you live life, and there are a lot of times where you sacrifice your own comfort for others. If you're a parent, if you're a young parent, and then you find even when you're an older parent, it doesn't end. You sacrifice yourself for other people. And it becomes incorporated into your life, some more than others. Some people live more for themselves than they do others. But we do. We do things for other people in life. And hopefully it's a large part of our life. Well, do we live for God? We are people that are here this morning for a reason. And as Christians, I hope that all of us endeavor to live for God. That's very important, that all of us live for God. So maybe we could change the way that the question is posed. Maybe the question would be, who are you living for and in what order? What captures your attention first with self and others and God? Who gets the most focus? Who are we most concerned about? What, as we go through a day, there are things that motivate decisions on our part. As we make life decisions, decisions that are going to affect what my life looks like tomorrow and next week and next year, what is it that motivates us to make those decisions? When you get on an airplane and you are going to fly somewhere, it doesn't take very long for the sound system to come on and somebody's going to say something that sounds something like this. In the event of a loss of cabin pressure, the oxygen masks will deploy. And when they do, place them over your nose and your mouth first before assisting those that are next to you. And they make a very specific point that when there's trouble, that those oxygen masks are going to fall, and the order of it is that you need to put it over your nose and your mouth first before assisting anybody else around you. Now, there's probably good reason for that. There's probably more than one good reason for that. If everybody's trying to help everybody else and nobody has an oxygen mask on, then everybody might end up being in trouble. And so maybe it is that the idea is that if there's a loss of cabin pressure and there's not enough oxygen to breathe, you need to put that on yourself first. Make sure you take care of yourself so that then you are better able to take care of those around you. But whatever the reason is, there's an order that is established. Take care of yourself first before trying to assist other people, because there are consequences that happen if you don't. And there's also an order in the practices that we have in life too. There's an order when it comes to the decisions that I make and what causes me to make the decisions that I do. There's generally an order to it. And this morning I'd like to understand what that order is. And I want to be really honest with myself. Did you know that living for the Lord requires a high degree of intellectual honesty? If you're not honest with yourself and you're not honest with God, then you're in an unstable place. You're not in a good place. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We've got to be honest with God. We heard this morning in Sunday school, there's always reasons. There are reasons to do whatever it is that you want to do. There's always reasons. And a good debater, it really doesn't matter what side you tell the debater that they're going to be on, the for or the against side. If they're a good debater, they got reasons for whichever side you put them on. Same person, but they can debate either end. Why? Because there's always reasons. Always reasons. And we always have reasons. We have reasons as to the practices in life that we take on. We have what we say is the reason, and then we have what the real reason is. Sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're not the same. Sometimes we think they're the same because we're afraid to think about it too far because we might not like what the real answer is. But as Christians, may God help us to be intellectually honest with ourselves. There's no advantage to allowing yourself knowingly to be deceived as to why you do what it is that you do. So may God help us to understand what the order is in our lives as to why we do what we do, as it has to do with ourselves and others and God. Not too long ago, we read a verse in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 18th and 19th or 19th and 20th verse. And those verses outline the fact that we're bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to God. And because you've been bought with a price, and because you're not your own and you belong to God, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. It didn't say live for yourself in spirit and in soul and in body, but it said because you're not your own, make sure that you're glorifying God with what you do. Well, it wasn't very long ago either. We read out of the 5th chapter of Galatians, and the 13th verse said that we have been called unto liberty. Talking to Christians, you've been called unto liberty. But it said, only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know, as servants of God, when we really get a hold of the gospel message, when the Lord does something for us in our hearts and it's real, there is liberty in Christian living. You know that song that says, well, we do just what we want to and we go just where we please, and that's what I'm doing here today. We know that song. There's liberty in that. There's liberty in doing what I want to do. I live how I live because that's what I want to do. I'm at liberty in that. I go where I want to because that's where I go. That's where I want to go. It's not because I don't want to go. I live this way. And there's liberty in the Lord. There is liberty from the law in the Lord. You see, the law came by Moses. And there wasn't a lot of liberty in that. The law came by Moses. But the scripture said grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There is liberty in grace and truth where you're not under the law anymore. But the scripture says, and you're not in bondage to people anymore. To a point. So Paul said, you have liberty, but don't use liberty as an occasion for yourself, for the flesh. If you know that the decision that you're going to make is going to cause a problem for somebody else, it's not that we have to be in bondage to other people, but to recognize that we want to serve one another in love. We want to do what's right. God is not asking us to make decisions that are poor decisions, that we're not good stewards of what God has given to us, and asking us to live a life that is in bondage to other people just because of perhaps an absence of knowledge on their part, and that's the end of the story. There's always more to that story, and there's more to that than what we have time to go into today. So, yes, there's that. But on the other hand, the Scriptures teach us, number one, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, not yourself. And we're also told that you have liberty, but don't use it as an occasion to the flesh. But by love, serve one another. And I think that as Christians, we all know today that God has called us to love Him above all else, and also in love to serve other people. In fact, the commandment said something like that too, right? The first commandment was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, mind, body, strength. And the second is likened unto it, that you would love thy neighbor as thyself. And it said everything else hangs on those two commandments. And so this morning, I believe that we know, that most all of us here today, we understand that the Scriptures teach us to serve God. The Scriptures teach us that we are to serve each other in love, and that we are not to live primarily for ourselves. Yes, we do things for ourselves. God created us to. That's responsible. Responsible thing to do. But I believe this morning that we all know that we are called to serve other people. We're called to serve God. And often that service is going to involve sacrifice to self. And I believe that all of us here know that. But this morning, that isn't my message. I wanted to bring that out to help set a foundation. My message and my challenge this morning is, what motivates us when we make decisions relative to God and relative to others? We could talk about this big word called self sometime, and I'm sure we will, but today, who are we living for? Who are you living for? What motivates you to make the decisions that you make in life? When you think of other people and you think of God, this is a close message. And I ask that you ask God to help reveal the truth of His Word to your heart. I want to be strong Christians. I want us to be strong Christians. And this isn't necessarily a message of warm milk, but it's a message that I think has some meat involved with it that I believe that God wants us to get a hold of. And so the question that I'd like us to consider by the help of the Lord is, what motivates us the most when we make decisions in life? God or other people? And it can get close. I know what the right answer is supposed to be, but I'd like to know what the real answer is in my life. I'd like to read a passage that was read to us last Sunday night in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. It said, "And I, brethren," starting at the first verse, "and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." I didn't come to you with fair words and a whole lot of my own wisdom. But I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When I came to you, Jesus Christ and God, they were what was most important to me when I came to you. I didn't come to you to try to convince you of my own thinking and my own wisdom and to put myself on display for you then to follow after me as much as I came to bring to you Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I recognized my place before you and my great need before you and want the Lord to be at the front of all of this. And he said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, not of himself, but of God." Listen to the fifth verse. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I'd like to read that again. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I'd like to ask this morning, what is your faith standing on? Where does your faith come from? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you do what you do? Why do you order your life as you order your life? Why do you teach your children the things that you teach your children? Where is your faith? What is it founded on? What helps you have a comfort level that your faith is grounded on rock and not sand that moves? What is it that helps you lay down at night and have a peace in your heart that all is well? Where's your faith? What's it grounded in? What is it standing on? Faith, our faith this morning should not be founded on just the mere wisdom and thoughts of man, but according to the power of the Almighty God. The Word of God. The Word of God and His Spirit. If we are basing the decisions that we make in life on the words and the influences of man primarily, and that's what guides and leads the decisions that we make, absent the Word of God, absent heavy doses of the Word of God that we ourselves have given ourselves to, we are at risk of ending up having a form of godliness and no power with it. I'm not interested in having a form of godliness this morning. I'm not interested in us coming to church and just playing church. Not interested in us having a form of godliness with no power. I am interested this morning in us having Holy Spirit power in our lives that have convictions that come inspired by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The very next chapter over, in the third chapter, Paul once again said, "Let no man deceive himself." Don't be deceived. You need to understand where you're at. You need to understand what doth the word of the Lord say. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." Folks, simply put this morning, we are desperate to have our faith and our experience based on the wisdom from above. Not the wisdom of man. Not the persuasive thoughts and reasons of man. Not the persuasion of fair words that seem to make sense, but are absent and void of the Word of God. God is calling us to be a people whose faith is grounded in the Word of the Lord. And that our convictions that we have been written in on our hearts by the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. And I fear that too many people settle for having an experience that is based on what man says, what the preacher says, what we think that somebody has taught or that the church has taught, and we stop there. And we settle for something that perhaps we've been told for many years, and we accept it, and it has its place. It does. We'll get to that in a moment. But then we settle for that, and we don't get to the place where we ourselves understand what the Word of the Lord doth say. And it makes for weak Christians when we do that. It can save us from some trouble, but it can make for some weak Christians. I think that sometimes we are more fearful about what brother and sister so-and-so are going to say about how we live our life than we are afraid of what the Lord is going to say. May God help us. Because I am concerned about what brother and sister so-and-so says. I am concerned. Because many times, brother and sister so-and-so have something to say that I need to get a hold of. But I want to know what God has to say to me too. I want to be more concerned about what God is thinking about my life and about the conduct of my life. I want to be more concerned about that than I am concerned about what everybody else thinks. Because if I'm not really careful, I will live my life jumping from one side to the other, always trying to figure out how I'm supposed to live according to what everybody else thinks I ought to live, and never get to the place where I stop and say, God, have mercy on my soul. Help me understand how you want me to live, how you want me to order my life. I have been, for a long time, I have been sobered by the message of the angel to the church at Laodicea. It was a church. It wasn't just a group of people out in the world going, but in Revelations, in the third chapter, the angel came and spoke to the church, and there were problems, and he said, listen, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're just kind of lukewarm, and you're living this lukewarm life, and there isn't anything in it that's especially inspiring, like a cold drink of water or a hot drink on a cold day that can do something for you, or springs of hot water that comes up out of the ground that back in areas close to Laodicea they had, that people would go and get help from this hot water, or another place on the other side of Laodicea that was at the base of a mountain where the cold water came down and they were able to get this water. But no, you're stuck over here in the middle and you're just lukewarm. You don't have really anything of a whole lot of substance. And because of that, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And the sobering part of the message is that they thought they were good. They thought everything was well. We're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. Everything's going well for us as a church. But it wasn't. It wasn't all well for them. The Lord said, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, blind, and naked, and you need some help. They were part of the church. They felt like they were rich and increased with goods for some reason. Where did the reason come from? What was it that caused the people in the church of Laodicea to feel like they were rich and increased with goods? Was it God? Was it God that told them that all is good with you all? You are rich and increased? No, it was not God. God is the one that came along and said, you all need help. You need to have your eyes anointed with the eyesight of the Holy Spirit that you might be able to see. It wasn't God, and I fear that part of what it was is that they were comforted spiritually by each other. They gauged their lives off of what those that were around them, how they reacted, what they said, what their wisdom was. And so the church, we could all get together here as a church, we could all look at each other and say, listen, you're doing well, you're doing good, there's no problems, we're just all one body here, God loves us all, doesn't matter really so much how we're living, but you're good. And we go to bed, and because we are looking to other people and we have not dug deep to get a hold of some heartfelt convictions for ourselves, we become lukewarm. God does not want us to be lukewarm this morning. God wants us to get a hold of something that's meaningful for us. He wants us to be able to have convictions that that are based on the Word of God, so that we're not miserable and wretched and poor and blind and naked. I don't want that to be the judgment against me by God when I get to the end of the way. So my burden this morning is who are we living for? Who are you living for? Does God have a prominent role in that? Are we just satisfied this morning to be accepted by our brothers and sisters? Are we okay with that? Or do we have a desire to dig deep? To dig deep into the Word of God, to get some Holy Spirit inspired convictions for ourselves. If you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, if you're living a life and a lifestyle, and you really don't know why you're doing it, except that you are told that that's what you're supposed to do, and you're not a babe in the Lord, you've been at this for a while, and you're down the road a ways, you're not just a child, because there's a place for that, to do what you're told when you're a child until you become an adult, and then there's an expectation that you have now some responsibility. If you are the age of spiritual responsibility today, and you don't have really an idea of why you're living like you're living, there's a problem. You are in need. God wants to do something special for you. He wants to come in and give you something more than what you have. He wants to set your feet on solid ground with Holy Ghost-inspired convictions that are consistent and according to the Word of God. In the sixth chapter of Luke, we've referred to this a number of times over the last couple of months. Sixth chapter of Luke in the 47th verse, Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh to me, and whosoever heareth my sayings and doeth them," doeth what? Doeth his sayings. "I'll show you to whom he is likened." And he was likened unto somebody who was able to stand when the storms came. Somebody that when the floods came and arose and the storm beat vehemently upon the life, that life was able to stand because the person came to who? It said, came to me, came to Jesus Christ, came to hear the words that I have to say, and was able to get down on rock, something that wasn't going to be moved. But if our house today, if your life, if the decisions that you make, if your lifestyle, if it's built solely on what man has said versus the Word of the Lord and His Spirit's dealings, and His Spirit's dealings will always match the Word of the Lord. The Spirit will never lead you in a way that is contradictory to the Word of the Lord. But if you are living your life based primarily on what other people say, absent the Word of the Lord and His Spirit's dealings, your life is built on a shaky foundation and is apt to fall when the wisdom of man shifts. Because it does, doesn't it? The wisdom of man changes. The direction that we're given by people shifts. Why? Because a lot of times those same people that are establishing in their mind what truth is, it's based on what somebody else said. And what where they're coming from is based on what somebody else said. And then when they move off the scene, then somebody else comes up. And so it's always shifting. If your Christian life this morning is based more on what others say and what others are telling you that you should do, and you don't have a spiritual desire, if I can say it that way, to dig deep, come to the Lord, to understand, "Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to order my life, Lord? Lord, this is what I heard from the minister. This is what God, my godly parents, have taught me. Lord, help confirm that in my heart that I might get it for myself. If we don't do that, we're going to be in trouble. Well, so should we listen to godly people then? Do they have no value? Do we just say, well, that's them. My relationship is just between me and the Lord. Absolutely not. We should absolutely not push away the godly counsel of godly people. The scriptures teach something very different from pushing it away. God set it up that we would have godly parents to teach us that we would follow and understand. God gave teachers and ministers and watchmen on the wall to be able to give warnings and teach that we might be able to get a hold of it. But always, always, folks, we should be digging deep when we get instruction to go back to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, help me understand what You want for me in life. Help reveal this truth to me. I am not of the mind this morning. It is a worrisome trend prevalent in the world and even in the Christian world that people will come and say, well, my experience is just between me and God, and I don't have respect for the elders like I ought to because, well, after all, they're their person. I'm my own person. I'm worth just as much as anybody else. I take my direction from God only. That is an ungodly spirit. It is a spirit and an approach that is in error with the Word of God. The Lord teaches us to be careful to honor those that can help us and teach us and lead us. Oh, but folks, don't ever get in the place where we are content to stop there and be as concerned about what everybody else thinks about how we're living and just get our direction and inspiration from other people versus the Word of the Lord. If you are not sure why you're doing what you're doing this morning, I am not at all saying that you should cast it to the side. Sometimes people do that. They all of a sudden they understand, well, I need to get something for myself with God. And then the enemy can take advantage of that and cause people quickly to then throw away all of the things that probably are good for them, or most of them. And then they get themselves in a real mess. If you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, if you have a life that you're living, a lifestyle, practices, standards of protection that have been taught to you, I am not at all saying that you should cast those to the side. What I am saying that when you have multiple warriors of God, men and women Christians who have established Christian lives, who have a track record of spiritual success and contact with God, and they are giving advice that maybe you don't understand completely, follow that advice while you then dig into the Word of the Lord and ask God to help you understand why it is what it is. I believe that that is a safe place to be. You can usually always make decisions in the course that you're taking in life, whether you're going to err to the edge of the cliff or whether you're going to err to the rock wall. People say, well, the Bible doesn't teach that I have to just hug the wall. Well, maybe it doesn't. If you don't know where you're supposed to be, I'd a whole lot rather be over there than right on the edge where I can say, well, nobody can tell me that this is actually sin. Well, if you're not sure where you ought to be, take a safe place, a conservative route, because your interest is serving God and being saved over everything else. And then go to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, help me understand what Your will is in my life. Seek the face of the Lord. Seek understanding from His Holy Spirit. And if we'll do that, God will bless us. He'll make us strong Christians. Did you know that a lot of times we don't have joy in our hearts Because we're really living for other people more than we're living for God. We can go through life kind of ill at ease. We're just really not that comfortable about how we're living. It's because we don't really know how or why we're supposed to live like we should before God, according to the Word. And at the same time, we can't really please everybody because everybody seems to have a different thought on some things. And yet, that's where our focus can be. And so then we go through life and we don't experience the joy that God has for us. We don't have abundant life that we're experiencing because we haven't dug deep to understand what doth the Word of the Lord say. But I believe this morning that if we will give our hearts and our lives wholly and completely, Lord, I want to serve You, and we are humble with those that care about us, and we listen to the advice that we're given, and when we don't understand, we take a safe route, and in the meantime, we are most concerned about understanding what doth the Word of the Lord say, we will find that we can go through life and begin to experience the joy of the Lord in a fuller way. We'll begin to find that our lives are on more stable ground. We will find that when people that we never expected to get off track goes off track, it does not move us from where we are in the Lord because we have got a hold of something that is beyond people. The laws of God have now been written in our hearts. This morning, let's endeavor by the help of the Lord to have Him being the motivating force in our lives above all else, the motivating influence above all else. Lord, help me to know how I should walk, that I may be able to teach others also, that they might also be able to walk in the light as You have shown me the light. Pray for me. I want to be true. I want to live for God first and foremost above all else, that I might be able to get to the end of the way and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Amen.